That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is May 31st, 2014. The last chance you can talk to us in May if you want to call in on the Wrangler program. Because next week we'll be in Branson, and the next week, well, we'll probably still be in Branson. So we'll see how that goes. But good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Remnant. And good morning, Lord. What a beautiful morning it is here. And we thank you for joining us. And we'll go ahead and put the phone number out. 307-745-5913 is the number if you want to call in. And we'll do our best to take your call. But let's start out with a word of prayer. And Jason, do you want to start us out this morning with that?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to ask for blessings on this program this morning. Pray, Father, for the work in their lives. Grant us wisdom, knowledge, power, and authority over the forces of the coming us in so many ways, shapes, and forms. Lift up this branch gathering to you, Father. Ask blessing upon it to those that are planting on it. Just protect them, that grant safety as they're traveling there, and that open the doors that it opens opportunity that you continue to guide us and direct us.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is the last of May, and we are getting ready for our Branson Conference to be held in Branson, Missouri on June 6th, 7th, and 8th, which is next weekend, tomorrow being June 1st. And so we hope you've registered. We've kind of hit the cutoff point, and we've filled up all the rooms and then some that we had reserved, and so that's a good thing. And had a couple people said they were going to do some final checking with their boss and whatnot and call us back on Monday, but that's the last day we'll be in the office, because after that we'll be traveling out, and a day travel out and a day to get set up. And so that's the Branson Conference that's coming up. And John, what are your thoughts on the Branson Conference this year and the men's meeting coming in before that?
Well, I think it's a huge testimony that there's 51 men that said they're going to attend the Acres of Diamond men's meeting. Grateful for that. And I believe, although the book, The Kneeling Christian, does have a lot of Judeo-Christian beliefs in it, there's a whole lot of truth in this book, and I think it's going to be really important for us as men and patriarchs to be able to study this book and to share our thoughts with each other at this meeting. And that's what my prayer has been, that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct. And I hope everyone who's coming is taking it seriously to read their books. I've talked to several men, and they're in the process, and I'm in the process too, to be honest with you. So, like I said, on Wednesday night prayer meeting, I kind of embarrassed to admit that this is the first time I read this book, because we had a man that led this ministry for 30 years that told us to read this book, and but I know I'm not the only one, so I'm repenting before you all right now on the radio. And the turnout that we have, quite a few people last minute making decisions and convicted to come, and praise be to God that there's men out there too that saw to it that those that needed some help would get that help, and I'm grateful for those men as well.
Amen. And if you're not familiar with the book that John was talking about, it's The Kneeling Christian. And it's by an unknown Christian. It was written back in the 1930s, maybe even before the 1930s. And we carry it. It's a small book. It's I don't want to call it an easy read, but it's not a. It's a book that is easy to read.
It is.
It's not the kind for you to just sit down and thumb through it and be done with it. But it's the type of little booklet. It's only, 100 pages? Yeah, 123 pages.
125.
Yeah, to read and to have and to highlight and to reread and to... it's a tool. It's a tool to help you, I think, understand prayer and improve your prayer life. It is. It's a great little book.
Yeah.
And like John said, is the book perfect? No. This other book here is, that says Holy Bible on the spine. it's perfect. The rest of
that's
them.
That's the only one.
That's the only one. It's just like there's only been one perfect man, and he went to the cross for us that are not perfect. But the Kneeling Christian, it does, as John said. There's a hint or two of some of the, we call it today, the more of the Judeo-Christian ethics that are in there and thoughts, but it's not that hard to get a really good gleaning.
It's just a book. You know, it's just a book.
It's just a book.
Everything should, everything you hold to should come out of the Bible. So when it, it's like the book of Jasher. It's not in the Bible, but it's a Bible about, you know, it's a book about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if, when you read it, if you come across things that contradict things that are in the Bible, well, then disregard it. Same with this book. If you read something that contradicts the Bible,
yeah,
disregard it. But you can, but there's certain things in it that makes your mind click and think, oh, yeah, I never thought of it that way before. And that lines up with the Bible.
Right. Kind of fills in some gaps.
Yeah.
And that's what this Kneeling Christian book is. It's a tool to help you.
They quote an awful lot of scripture in and out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, they do. So we have
that's
it.
A good
if,
thing.
If you'd like it, we'd be glad to send you one. If you don't have one, I know many times people that, well, just this week, had a call here at the office, and a woman down in southern Colorado asked if we'd pray for her mom, and we did, and she had the book, Christ the Healer, and was reading that, and she asked if there were any other books on, you know, specifically on healing or on prayer that would help her and help her talk to her mom about this. And we mentioned this book, The Kneeling Christian, and she didn't have it. And so, again, it's a help. It kind of summarizes and points to many of the places in the Bible that we're told to pray, many of the places where the people of the Bible did pray. So it is. It's a good tool, and it's one you want to have in your arsenal. It's a tool you want to have in your tool belt, for sure. So, well, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. Jason, we'll kind of defer down to you. What's going on in the world you want to share with the remnant right now?
You know what? I have no idea.
That's not always a bad thing.
Everybody for Branson, and that's about all I've been able to do.
I hear you. Seemed like it was 3 months, now it's 3 days, and that was like a day ago.
Yeah, it is. I have had the chance to talk to several men, several people that are planning on attending Branson, though, and it's encouraging to be able to talk to people and we'll see you in a few days. And been talking to them and talking to several of the Acres Diocese men that will be attending the Acres seminar. And just, you know, it seems like everything's coming together. It's going good. Had a good feeling about it. So that's always a plus.
Amen.
We did. We were able to get the Volume 5 of the Dragon Slayer shipped out this week. So that was a major overtaking. But
that was no easy task this time, was it?
No, not that it ever is, but it was one of those printers didn't want to cooperate quite well.
Everybody's prayers been directed at the shortwave station. We forgot to keep lifting up the prayers for the printing equipment.
Amen. Well, guys, yeah, the phone's ringing. Let's try a caller here. We'll bring a caller on. And good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Come on, man. Just wanted to call in and you know, real quick to bring to the brethren our problems and prayers, which we're supposed to whenever we need help. But I just want to bring a prayer report this morning. I tell you, the Lord's been working in our lives in a mighty way, and it's been plain to see, and it's exciting. I've been praying about for a long time and getting some more land. And anyhow, the Lord's opening doors for that. And part of my prayer was that He would make it clear for me to see that I wouldn't have to wonder or know if I was in the right place or doing the right thing. And it is sure something special whenever you can sit back and watch the hand of God in every aspect unfold a situation that you couldn't have worked out if you'd have drawn a map.
It isn't, you know, Josh, isn't that a great piece? You know, when you, like, just like you said, you pray for that, and then it, you see it unfolding. Because I've experienced that very thing, and I recall that there's a peace about it when you know that, you know, it's the way it's supposed to be.
It's an awesome feeling whenever you don't have to, wonder. And I'll tell you, to me, which I suppose I'm just a simple sheep when it all boils down, the main thing that we are blessed with a healthy family and just knowing the truth. And I suppose sometimes I fail to, well, I do thank him for it, but I guess realize the real magnitude of those blessings. But when you see something completely separate, when you see it in the material world, it's different, you know, because it's not something that you really pursue as much as you do spiritual things, you know. And whenever you think about our people being in bondage and slavery and all this, it overshadows the fact that his people can still prosper even in such times as they are today whenever they're living in his will. And let me tell you, it's more of a challenge than I thought to just be able to accept his blessings whenever when he gives them to you. Because, I feel like sometimes that I'm not worthy, which is incorrect because we are sons of a king, you know. I mean, we are heirs to the kingdom. That's just something that I work with. I guess the main reason I called this morning is I just want to praise him. You know, I want to thank him. And like that song says, you don't just pray when it's raining, you got to pray when the sun shines too. And I wanted to lift that up to you all this morning.
General, can you hear me all right, Josh?
Yes, sir.
We were talking earlier this week, we were sharing basically prayer stories, and it was interesting because, you know, both when we were talking, we asked the Lord to, you know, make it obvious for his will, and sometimes it's like sometimes the Lord's got to, like in your situation, had to put it right before you, before, you know, so you know that it's blatantly obvious that this is the Lord's will for you.
Well, it's so much easier when you do have that. When you have it in front of you, you know that's what's supposed to be happening. Whenever you have a piece about it, you can just move forwards. You know, you can drop the rein and say, well, Lord, this is what you want me to do. I sure want to be doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tell you, just in the first half of this Kneeling Christian book, and I don't want to push it too much, but I've already learned things in here that have helped my prayer life. And just this week, several prayers, just like Jason was talking, asking for God to just show us your will, you know, open the doors that need to be opened or close the doors that need to be closed regarding some pretty major decisions with the ministry. And God just, I mean, plain as day, gave the answers. And I tell you what, I'm grateful, because sometimes I'm a little slow.
Yeah, that's what I told Josh earlier this week. I said, sometimes the Lord's got to make it so simple for me, put it right in front of my face, because sometimes I'm rather slow at figuring out what he wants me to do. And we were chuckling about that, because there were several situations that he'd been dealing with, that I've been dealing with, and the Lord sometimes just puts it right there, and it does make it blatantly obvious. But when you see that and know that the Lord's the one that put it there for you, what a blessing. I mean, you know, there's no doubts, there's no reserves about it. It's just, you know what, you can go at it full force and do whatever you have to do to take care of it.
And, you know, I've certainly been guilty of not, subconsciously not giving him the credit of being all powerful. You know, and if you look at something and say that it's too big, and you know, but that's wrong. That's a sin. That I guess it's really close to blasphemy. And so just. My advice would be to, if you pray about something and if you get a an answer that may seem to be impossible, you know, if it's just not impossible to him.
You know, Josh, you mentioned about even in these days of captivity and these days of darkness and sin that are all about the land, that God still blesses his people. He still answers their prayers. He still, you know, gives them signs. He still directs them, those that seek him. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me back in Exodus, you know, of almost the last plague. And in Exodus 10, it talks about how the darkness came over the land of Egypt. And there was darkness for 3 days. The people couldn't see one another. It says they didn't get up and rise from their place for 3 days. And you know, the times now are similar to the times then. You know, we have a Pharaoh that does not know Egypt or Egypt's or Joseph or Joseph's God. You know, we're basically in another bondage. But it says here in verse 23, they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. And so, you know, even in these those days of captivity, you know, that light was still with the children of Israel. You know, they were able to, and of course they came through that. And we do have to be reminded sometimes that you know, even in where we're at today, we, you know, our Lord is still watching out for us. He's still guiding and directing us. He's still a lamp unto our feet, and his blessings are still there for those that, you know, that worship and honor and praise him.
Well, I liken this conversation, this phone call, to my children when I do something for them. I love for them to come give me a big hug and say, thank you, and mean it. You know, and that's what I want to do. Them blessing us, I want to tell everybody, you know, that he has been blessing us, and I thank him in front of everybody. And I truly am thankful in my heart for the things that he's done for us. And, you know, without the rainy days, without the challenges, we wouldn't be who we are today. So we certainly got to thank the Lord for that. And there's an immeasurable value for whenever you are victorious in one of those challenges, whenever you stay the course, and it gets you through the hard times. But I am guilty a lot of times of not giving the good times just as much credit and doing and learning, growing, and building through those as well.
Yeah, what does the Bible tell us, you know? Ask and you shall receive, you know? Greater things than this you shall do. And according to this book, it, you know, basically 6 times Jesus is telling us that. So there must be some significance to it, that it's getting our prayer life and our faith strong enough to receive the answer to those prayers.
Yes, sir. You're setting that correct. But I will say this, to certainly be careful
really got a foot of rain. So I guess maybe we should have done a little better job of specifying. But we got our rain, and that's a praise for it, and I thank him for it. But you gentlemen have a good day.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, you too.
Josh. I'll see you later.
All right. You know, it's interesting he mentioned praying for rain. Saw a very small news report that I guess there was a church, I wanted to say, in Texas. Was that where it was?
Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Austin.
Yeah.
Right around Austin, yep.
And back about a week ago, about 10 days ago, they called for and it was a Baptist church, but they called for prayer, and they called for fasting, and they did that. They fasted and they prayed, and I think they confessed and they cried out to God for rain because they were in a drought. And guess what happened?
The rains came.
Mother Nature sent them rain.
The rains came. God heard their cries. He heard their prayers. He recognized their fasting, I think, in their confession.
Yeah, I talked to David down there, and he said 7 inches in one day. That's a lot of rain.
Yeah, and their reservoirs were, like, empty. And now they've come up several feet is what they were saying. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they have to put in the news story that, well, May is usually our time of rain, and yeah. We typically get 5, you know.
Yeah.
So they do everything they can to try to thwart the power of God. But those that have the laws of God written on their heart, they know.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 7:14 or best.
Yeah. Amen.
Which, by the way, we're debuting the new, we've been working with Texas in Texas, and have a new God Save America Again t-shirt that we're going to debut at Branson, and on the back of that is Repent America and 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible verse. So be looking for that. We'll be offering that to the remnant here shortly. Exciting times we're living in. Exciting times.
Oh, it is.
Just got to have the right attitude.
Amen.
We read the end of the book. We know we win. That doesn't mean we're not going to have hardship along the way, but we just have to praise God for everything, and He'll deliver us.
Yeah. Amen.
I saw this news article this week. It was kind of interesting. It was from Sacramento, California. And it says that new regulations passed by the Sacramento City Council will require taxi drivers speak English. And boy, they're having an outrage out there about that. They've made some updated rules for taxi cabs. Basically, taxi cab cars have got to be no older than 8 years old. Drivers have to be able to speak English, and they have to be identically clean.
You're talking about a taxi driver?
They're talking about taxi cab drivers. And it's like, well, I don't know exactly about taxi cab drivers in Sacramento, but I know that you could throw out most of the ones that I've ever ridden in. Boy, they're just having a fit about it. And their argument is, well, just because we don't speak English doesn't mean that our taxi cab drivers don't know where you want to go. And they're, you know, I mean, just, you know, you talk about the insanity. They say, well, they don't speak English, but you can get in, and if you speak English, they can get to where you want. Well, some that supposedly speak English, I've had them take me to the wrong place. I mean, you know, taxi cab drivers are famous for that. And, you know, hygienically clean, well, you know, there's something to be said about that as far as taxi drivers go also. But, I don't know.
You can't discriminate because they carry their camels in the back, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I've been in a couple that it smelled like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, you carry that a little further. So they make a law that says they have to speak English. Well, so right now the law isn't in effect. and all the taxi drivers that are there have a driver's license for California, and they can't speak English. And to be a taxi driver, I believe you have to have a license, a business license, to operate a taxi. So they have that, and they can't speak English. And more than likely, they're not U.S. citizens. So they probably don't have a Social Security card. They're not paying taxes. They're not having the insurance requirements laid upon them like they would if you or I were in Sacramento wanting to have a taxi service. And so they'll probably get it overturned.
Well, don't worry, because the military is got a push right now to recruit undocumented people for military service. So all those taxi drivers that don't speak English, you can join the military.
Yeah, that's another thing we need, to be able to train them how to use guns.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I mean, exactly. You think about it, it's like, okay, they're supposed to have drivers, they're supposed to have business license. How'd they even get the job? And, you know, talk about, you know, a taxi cab driver is usually taking people from, you know, that are out of town, that are visiting, that, you know, going from one place to another. A lot of business stuff takes place there. And they don't think they should have to, I don't know. Kind of interesting. Well, and I'm even surprised that they got this passed. City council that ended up, they voted on it, and they're the ones that passed it. And I'm surprised that they even went that far. And I think it's kind of partially in retaliation to all these judges that are signing these rules to give free driver's license, basically give them free reign when they don't even have proof citizenship.
I got news for you, though. All it takes is a federal judge to overturn it, just like they do everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they will in California.
It will. California's been notorious for that. You know, I know over the years the pastor, you know, he would bring messages and stories on that time and time again. There were times that the people of California would overwhelmingly vote to, you know, not recognize homosexual marriages, or to, you know, not pass this tax or that tax. And the people have spoken, and it makes the headlines. California says no. And then, yeah, a month or two later in fine print, you see that just what you're saying, John, this judge overturns it, or that federal judge says, no, that's unconstitutional, what the people voted for, 82%, and so we're going to do it anyway.
We witnessed that right here in Colorado when we were fighting the battle against the Amendment 2 special rights for the queers, and it was overwhelmingly voted down, and the city council determined, well, we think this is what's best for the
right
for the county and the city, and the only thing that overturned that was a petition with, I don't know, 15,000-20,000 signatures. But now you don't even hear about that. It's just the federal judge has ruled it, that it's unconstitutional.
Right.
Gone.
Then retires the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've linked all those rights into, they lump them in with civil rights now. And, you know, the civil rights, we spoke about it a little bit earlier in the year, how, you know, the Civil Rights Act, I think it was passed in 64 or 65. You look two generations later, it effectively destroyed the black family. You know, it really did. Because before the Civil Rights Act, our prisons weren't 62% full of blacks. The black male was in the home. And it's just, it's not that way now. You know, the majority of those...
You're going to get a call from Jesse Jackson.
I might. are black. The majority of the people in the prisons are black. And the black family has just been utterly destroyed. And it's been... one of the direct, I think, a direct result from passing the Civil Rights Act. You know, they pass it to benefit. No, it's always the opposite. You know, the war on poverty, we have more poverty. You know, the war on drugs, we have more drugs. And it's just how it is. Well, the phone lines are ringing. Let's give somebody else a chance to talk. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello. Joe calling.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Hey, glad to hear you guys are broadcasting this morning. I'm unable to receive you either on the computer or on shortwave. It's blanked out. So I thought I'd shoot you a phone call to wish you a very happy and safe and blessed trip.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. Sure appreciate it.
You guys are probably getting really gearing up, getting ready and loading up and stuff like that. I can understand that. So don't forget anything. Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Joe.
Good night, all. Or good day, all.
All right. 307-745-5913. If you do want to call in on this last day of May of 2014, and if you hear the broadcast any other time, as we do replay it periodically, and we'll also replay it on Monday evening. And these messages are archived at our websites, scripturesforamerica.org, and also at our network website, sfawbn.com. And at that sfawbn.com website, you'll find our complete broadcasting schedule, what we're broadcasting when, as well as about the last 2 or 3 months of our schedule. And you can click on and either order a CD or listen to the program right there.
Yeah, just see our buddy Phil Robertson's back in the news again.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of truth. He don't have it all, but he's got a lot. And in a statement, he said, "We're up against evil like I've never seen in my life." I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what's coming out of this White House? He said, "The only thing I can tell you folks is that it's downright embarrassing." Well, it should have been, it's downright evil. But the other thing he said is, he's unfazed by the media furor that unfolded after his comments. It's just part of spiritual warfare. Well, it sounds to me like that old boy knows his Bible pretty well, understands the importance of baptism, and they're definitely coming against him as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, he told the GOP, he says, you know, you can't be right for America if you're wrong with God. And
right. And he said they must be desperate if they're calling him to come speak.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, you want to turn the Republican Party around, get godly. And
yep.
I certainly don't think that's a bad thing to put out to them. You know, at least they hear it.
Yeah, the reality is you got three rights. You got the right to repent, or you got the right to get off the land, or the right to get under it. That's the three rights.
Yeah. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Kyle, it's your turn. Give us your thoughts for Branson coming up.
Oh, I don't, you know, don't want to bore you with my thoughts this morning, but when you were talking about the Kneeling Christian book, something that it does to me is it makes me go to Psalms. Because that's the prayer book. I mean, in the Bible, I mean, there's prayers in every book of the Bible, but that, I mean, if you want to find out how to pray, go to Psalms, you know. And we were talking about that a little bit yesterday, Richard, me and you, about, you know, the hindrance to prayer. And there's a chapter in the Kneeling Christian about hindrance to prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, anybody can stand on the street corner and pray. We've witnessed people doing that forever, you know. I mean, that's, you know, that doesn't mean their prayers are going to get answered, you know. And we've all had prayers not answered, and we've all scratched our head at least at certain times and wondered why. And I'll tell you, it's not God's fault, you know. And
no.
And the words of Christ, you know, ask and you shall receive, or there is true when he said it, as they are, you know, today is when he said it. You know, but there are hindrances to prayers, and you can read about it in that book. And you know, I've this week traveling back and forth to LaPorte, actually the last week and a half or whatever, I had a chance. I basically grabbed most of the CDs of Pastor Peters on prayer. And, you know, each one had a little nugget of truth that I had forgot or, you know, wasn't on the tip of my mind. And, you know, of course, I'm driving down the road jotting down scribble notes, you know, on the deal. Because there's a lot to prayer that we just don't remember. You know, I mean, we get caught up and we forget. And the hindrances, there's so many, there's way more hindrances than you even can imagine.
Yeah.
And number one and number two to me, which is they're kind of combined, is why doesn't God hear us sometimes? And you can go to Isaiah and find this out. And like I said, the book of Psalms, it's because we're not right with God. Confession and repentance. King David would confess and repent and then pray. And he'd pray that, you know, God would come against his enemies, and his enemies were after him because he did good. But yet, while he's saying he did good, just a few verses before that, he's confessing his sins. You know, and if you read 2 Chronicles 6 before you get to 7:14, mm-hmm. It kind of lays out, I mean, it's kind of the long version of 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Right.
It's right. You know, and you understand that there's hindrances that you have to overcome to get right with God. Even though you're in Christ, even though there's no more condemnation in Christ Jesus, that's
we still have our sinful nature.
We still
have that to overcome.
Absolutely, and that's why in the New Testament, and we were also talking about this yesterday, Richard, is in the New Testament how Paul directed to the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Ephesians, and then you read the book of there's always something to clean in your life.
Right.
And if you read about the seven churches in Asia, they were seven churches in Asia.
Yeah, it wasn't out to the
heard the gospel. They were in Christ. Now they might, some of them were closer to falling from grace than others.
Right.
But they there was always something that they needed to confess and repent of to get right with God again.
Right.
And it just seems like there's certain periods of your life that you go through that you just forget some stuff, you know, and you need to go back to square one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think there at the end of 2 Corinthians, doesn't Paul write, this is now the third time that I'm reminding you of this. And
sometimes he wrote so strong that they were in sorrow. You know,
right?
He said he didn't want to do it, and he didn't want to make them that way, but he had to because they needed to get right with God again. It was to benefit them. It's just like disciplining your child. You know, nobody wants to really discipline their child. You know, but you want them to get right.
Right.
You know,
and it's not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
You don't do it once and then okay, I've done that, and now, you know, in disciplining your child. You know, you discipline them once, and then, okay, that's done. And you never have to go back and address that again. No, that's not the way that works.
Yeah.
And it's not the way our Christian walk works either. You know, even if it's just a hindrance to prayer that comes up. You know, whether it's, you know, your workload is great, or the stresses of life, or whatever it is, because those are very real things that happen that we have to deal with. You know, whether it's work or family or health, they had it then. We have it now. The influences of the world, they come in on us sometimes more than we think.
And God will answer prayers sometimes. That doesn't mean that you've got it made because He answered your prayers. And a lot of, especially in the Judeo-Christian world, it's just like those people in the Gospels that say they cast out demons in your name. You know, we did many mighty don't praise yourself and put yourself up on a pedestal because He answered your prayers. You know, it has nothing to do with you. It's
right.
All God.
Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely. Why, you know, Josh's phone call this morning, being thankful. Thankful to God, you know. So many times, you at least get the impression that you think you got it made because you've had a prayer answered. You know, Well, you can read in the Bible where that's not the end all. You know, that it's good that God answered your prayer. But it's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. It's a constant cleansing. And that's why it's great that we take communion every week, you know, so we can take that opportunity to get right with God again, you know.
Amen. And hey, if you like what you're hearing, if you think it's interesting, come to Branson. You know, bring your notepad, bring your Bible.
If any more people come, I'll have to sleep in my car.
Just about, yeah. We filled up all the rooms we had reserved, and
there's always
room.
Had to
get some more rooms, but we wouldn't make you sleep in your car, Kyle. Maybe on the way out there, but not once you get there. So, and I think these are some of the things we're going to be bringing and sharing with the people, and talking about with the men at the Acres of Diamonds Men's Conference that we have the day before the Branson Conference, and. You know, we're also pleased to report that we have several new men that have applied and been accepted into the Acres of Diamonds, you know, ranks, if you will. Pastor had that set up, I think, as far back as looking through some of them, 2003, 2004, I think, was some of the first years that we actually, you know, put some of the initial training together. And it was to, you know, to equip, to assist, to strengthen the godly Christian men out there that are serious about living a Christian life and truly being a true light in the world. And so we are continuing on in that, and did. We were pleasantly, I'm not going to say surprised, but just pleased, I guess. Mm-hmm. That we did. We've had several men, you know, some younger men that have, you know, fairly recently come into this in the last few years, and some, you know, ones that aren't as young as they used to be, or however you want to put that, but that I guess, you know, finally decided to do what they needed to do and call and ask and get the application filled out and make the sacrifice to say, yeah, I'll be there a day early. I'll bring my family in a day early and take another day off work and you know, do these things to fellowship with godly men and hopefully to you know, learn some more about our prayer life and hindrances and things along those lines. And I think those type of sacrifices are pleasing to God.
I think it's important to realize, though, that I don't think you can have the discernment that you need, the scales removed from your eyes and your ears unstopped to be able to see what you need to see and hear what you need to hear without the Holy Spirit. And we know, because God's Word tells us how we get that Holy Spirit, and that's
yes.
Through repentance and proper baptism. And, I mean, there's a reason that our pastor taught us, too, to pray for more Holy Spirit. You know, give me more Holy Spirit, Lord. Grant me wisdom and understanding and discernment. And once you make that commitment and you've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and you're pulled out of the realm of the world and you're put in Jesus Christ's realm, it changes everything. And I think the time is near where it'll only be those that are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ that will be meeting together and encouraging one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly. I mean, if you've been with this ministry for any period of time and you haven't made that commitment yet, then you better pray that God gets your heart right. I'm hoping we have a whole bunch of baptisms there. I'm praying we have a whole bunch of baptisms there, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, we know of some. You know, some have contacted us and said, when you having it? And, you know, we just about start the conference out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Yeah.
And so Friday afternoon we'll have a baptism class and baptisms. We have people coming for it. They've told us that they're doing so. And we'll do it again on Saturday because we found that we usually have people come on Friday for baptism and also on Saturday.
Yeah, I've seen personally through good friends of mine. You guys know Jay and his wife, and they used to think that I was crazy as could be about, you know, just proclaiming baptism, and I'd show them the scriptures, and they'd still think, you know, well, yeah, but that was, you know,
made that commitment, and I baptized Jay, and he baptized his wife, all of a sudden, he started to see things, and he started to understand, you know, what we believe in, and the different philosophy that we have than most of the world, you know, that the remnant has. And even day after day now, you can see that there's a growth that's happening. I don't think you can have those eyes to see without making that commitment. I think this Bible, you know, it's a book, but it's the living word.
Yes.
And that living word is only revealed to those that belong to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's why the early Christians, man, time after time, they would say it's a spiritual illumination. You know, what they were telling you, when you went down in the water and came up, you came up, you know, a different person. Not just that your sins have been washed away, but that you had that gift of the Spirit, you know, and
right.
And it does. It's the whole change.
And if you could get the gift of the Holy Spirit any other way, the Bible would tell us. And I don't believe it does.
Or if you could get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life any other way.
Right.
And well, you can get greater measure out of the Holy Spirit by laying on the hands of the presbytery,
sure.
You know, but not the gift that you're talking about.
Right. You know? Right.
But that seems to be a good talking point, too, even with these preachers who think they know it. You know, they've been preaching for years. And I said, show me somewhere in the Bible other than through baptism how you can get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm amazed that a lot of these preachers don't even realize that there's a book of remembrance, you know?
Yeah. Well, they haven't been taught. We understand that our enemy has infiltrated the seminaries and teach even those that may be called, you know, but they go to these seminaries that are led by the Antichrist themselves, because they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Messiah and the Savior, and that's what they're taught, you know. Midwives can turn in a pregnancy if a baby is breached. Most of the time, a midwife can, you know, as the pregnancy goes on, can turn that baby. They used to teach that. It used to be passed on. Doctors used to be taught that. They're not taught that anymore. It's a simple fact. There's ways to do that, but it's not common knowledge, and it's not taught to the doctors. And so how are the doctors going to know if it's not? And it's almost the same way in these seminaries, you know. We have preachers that are coming out that have never been baptized, that have never been taught baptism, that have been taught just the opposite, you know, by the enemies of Christ. And so, yeah, they don't know. They think they're doing right. They think they're rich and well and clothed, and they're wretched and poor and blind. Looks like you got something there, Kyle. No?
Oh, not really. I was looking up 1 Corinthians 15. Because that's when you're changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's when you go from the perishable to the imperishable. Now, the church world out there thinks that's talking about the rapture. No, that's talking about when you change. When you go from a dead zombie to a living being in Christ. You know, and if you read the chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it leads you right up. It's telling you the gospel message. And then it's telling you that, you know, you're at that moment that you become alive in Christ, in a twinkling of an eye, you're raised a different person. You know, it's not the rapture, it's the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. You know?
Good point. Well, guys, we're wrapping up this last Saturday in May. Just got a couple minutes left here. We do want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow. You can come to scriptures4america.org, and at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, you can click on the live video stream and join us there at the LaPorte Church of Christ for church services. We'll have a scriptural review of the news, and you'll get to see John there. He's got some interesting things to bring, some scriptures and some things to share with us. And Paul will have some Holy Spirit-inspired music. And Kyle, you up for communion tomorrow?
I guess so, yeah.
I guess you're up for communion tomorrow. Good, and then we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And it's an opportunity for us here at the local church to gather together and fellowship and not forsake the assembly. And you know, it's an opportunity for you out there, the remnant, to do the very same thing. You know, we know that many do gather. They gather with family. They gather with friends. They will, and then gather with us on the internet and on the computer. And that's one of the reasons that the pastor and the LaPorte Church of Christ, I think, was one of the very first, if not the first, churches in this nation to live stream the church services. And it was for that purpose. It was so that the remnant out there, the scattered remnant that are scattered because God has them scattered, because that's what's best for us right now, but that they would still have the opportunity to have fellowship. And I know Jason remembers some of the first times we went to the NRB and the NAB and the broadcast conventions and stuff like that. And many people were recording and then playing on public TV later and things like that. But live streaming? Oh, maybe a couple of the big news stations did. But the first couple years, we did the live streaming. We found no one else that was doing it from the church world. And,
you know, as being out there years ago, I was a bah humbug guy on internet. The only reason why I ever got internet was because Scripture for America was coming over the internet, you know. And what a blessing it was, you know, to get up on a Sunday morning and watch the church service in LaPorte. You can't even fathom the blessing that that is to the people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. If you haven't been out there, it is hard to understand. Yeah. So we do. And we do ask you to keep our Branson gathering in your prayers. Going to a new place this year, and that always presents its own little trials. But have a lot of travel coming up next week for not only us, but the remnant as well, from sea to shining sea, from Texas, from Canada, from all over, that'll be driving down and joining us. So we do ask you to keep the remnant in your prayers for traveling mercies and safeties, and that it would just be a blessed event. And if you don't have a good internet service, or you can't get it, but you still want to get the church service, we do record the services, and we mail them out on Monday on the DVD Church Ministry. And if you'd like to be part of that, you can write to us and request it. We'll send you a sample, see what you think. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Well, thanks again, men, and if you guys could hold on the line for just a minute, I needed to ask a question.
Tune in next Saturday.
See you tomorrow.
And we're not here.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more,
snake
hide.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide.
Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.